This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayigash. And perhaps the most riveting revelation in the entire Torah, more so than even HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. More riveting than that is Yosef revealing himself to his brothers. V'lo yochol Yosef lehisapik l'chol hanitzavim alav. Yosef wasn't able to hold back any longer. Vayikra, he called, hotziu kolish me'alai, remove everyone from upon me. V'lo amad ishito, there was no man that stood with him when Yosef ultimately revealed himself to his brothers. Vayomer Yosef el echav, and Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef, Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive? And the response of the brothers was a lack of a response. V'lo yochlu echav la'anos oso, his brothers couldn't answer him, ki nivhalu mipanav, they were dumbfounded. They were in shock. And many commentaries explain the reason why they were in shock, the reason why they were dumbfounded, they were speechless, is because it was at that moment when Yosef had come and said, Ani Yosef, their entire world came crumbling down before their eyes. They had assumed that Yosef was Chayev Misa. They had assumed that Yosef was a Russia, was a bad person. And they were justified for hating him. And they had determined that he deserved to die. And now when they realized that he was alive, all of their assumptions, all that they had assumed about their brother Yosef, was incorrect. The greatest rebuke that Yosef had given to his brothers was telling them that they were not justified, their hatred towards him was unwarranted. And that is what caused the brothers to be speechless. That's a famous understanding and explanation as to why they weren't able to respond. Though I want to suggest, and as we'll see later on, a different possibility as to this entire exchange between Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers as Yosef HaTzadik revealed himself to the Shiftei Kop. My second question is, the Torah tells us that when Yosef HaTzadik revealed himself or came before his brother Binyamin, his only full brother, a brother from the same mother, the Torah tells us, Vayipol al tza'avare Binyamin achiv vayavch, that Yosef fell upon the neck of his brother Binyamin vayavch, and he cried. Ubinyamin bacha al tza'avarav, and Binyamin cried upon the neck of Yosef. And Rashi comes and gives an explanation as to why they were crying, or what was the cause for their crying. Rashi says that Yosef HaTzadik, when he came in contact with his brother, he was crying al shnei mikdashos. He was crying over the two batei mikdash, she'asidin lios bechelkel shel Binyamin, that would ultimately be in the portion of Shevet Binyamin. When the land was allocated to all the various Shvatim, Binyamin was Zoche, Binyamin was deserving of having the Batei Migdash built in his portion. And it would be in his portion where they were built, but also be destroyed. And Yosef saw through Ruach HaKodesh that ultimately the Batei Migdash were going to be destroyed, and therefore that was cause for him to cry upon the shoulder or the neck of Binyamin. Asks the Oznayim LaTorah Reb Zalman Sarutzkin, why would Rashi feel compelled to explain Yosef's crying on the neck, the shoulder of his brother Binyamin, because he saw Beruach HaKodesh, that the Beis HaMikdash, the Batei Mikdash, were going to be destroyed? Why can't he simply say that the reason why Yosef HaTzadik was crying was because this was a very emotional moment in his life? After all, he cried before he revealed himself to all of his brothers. The Torah tells us he couldn't handle it anymore. Vayiten es kolo bivchi. Yosef HaTzadik was a crier. He also cried when he saw his father. There are many other times where we find that Yosef HaTzadik was crying. And therefore, why would Rashi come and take what seemingly is something obvious? He doesn't even have to come and explain why they were crying and give an explanation that it has to do with the notion, with the idea that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed in the Chelek, in the portion of Binyamin, and that was ultimately cause for Yosef to cry. Seemingly, it has to do with the fact that they haven't seen each other in 22 years. This was his beloved Binyamin. This was his younger brother. This is the brother that he had longed to see for so many years. And now he finally comes and he's with him. The emotion, this built-up emotion of long-lost brothers finally coming and being reunited, is enough of a reason to cry. And yet Rashi comes and tells us it was because of the eventual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in the portion that would be Binyamin's. Difficult to understand Rashi's explanation. And our third and final question, the Torah tells us after Yaakov had found out that Yosef was alive, Yaakov was excited, and he was going to make the trip to see his long-lost son, Yosef. So the Torah tells us, Vayisa Yisrael, that Yisrael traveled, V'chol asher lo, all that was with him, they came to Beersheba, they brought korbanos in the name of his father Yitzchak, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yisrael, told Yaakov Abinu in a vision at night, go down to Mitzrayim, don't be afraid of going to Mitzrayim, because there you're going to become a great nation. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu assures him, Anochi Ered Imcha, I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim, and I'll bring you up. So the Torah tells us, Vayokam Yaakov mi Beersheva, that Yaakov got up from Beersheva, Vayisu b'nei Yisrael es Yaakov aviem, and the sons of Yisrael, the sons of Yaakov, brought Yaakov, their father, and their young children, their wives, in the agolos, in all of the wagons that Paro had sent. And then the Torah continues and tells us, Vayichu es mikneim, they took their flock and all of their possessions, asher rachshu, all that they had, all they acquired, all they amassed, be'eretz Kenan, from Eretz Kenan, and they came to Mitzrayim. And Rashi comes and tells us something very interesting. Rashi tells us that Yaakov Avinu had only taken the possessions that he had acquired in Eretz Kenan. Aval ma sherochash bepadan Aram, but all that he had acquired in Padan Aram, outside of Eretz Yisrael, nosan hakol le'esav, he had given it all to Esav. Amar, Yaakov said, Nichse chutzel la'aretz, possessions of outside of Eretz Yisrael, einan kedai li, are not worthwhile for me. Hence, The possessions that he had accrued in Eretz Canaan, he took with him to Mitzrayim. But all the possessions that he had acquired in Padan Aram, he gave away to Esau. Why? Because Einan Kedaili, it's not worthwhile for me, it's not right for me to have possessions that I had acquired in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the obvious question is, why not? Why wasn't he able to keep, or he felt that it was Einan Kedai, it's not worthwhile for me to have possessions that I acquired in Chutz La'aretz. At the end of the day, all that he had acquired is all from Hashem. Whether he acquired it in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, it really shouldn't make a difference. And yet, he gave them away. And the question is, why did he give them away? Why did he feel compelled to give them away? So in order to answer this question, we have to understand the first Beis HaMikdash. Chazal teach us that the first Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael was zoche, Klal Yisrael deserved to have the first Beis HaMikdash in the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each and every one of the patriarchs, each and every one of the forefathers had a certain schus. They were noble in a certain area of halacha. They had a certain chelek, they had a certain part of how they connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the exclusion of others. For example, Avraham had the midah of Kedusha, of Tahara. He distanced himself from Gilui Arayos, from any types of relations that were deemed unworthy. After all, we know that even his own wife, he didn't realize how beautiful she was, because she was such a tzanua, and that was the standard of Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak, his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that he was a karbon. The same way that people come and connect through karbanos, through tefillah, Yitzchak Avinu himself was brought up as a karbon. He connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in being mispalel, in worshipping Hashem. And Yaakov, he connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in understanding the sanctity of life. Yaakov Avinu was very scrupulous, was very careful, was very considerate in understanding the value of life. He never even had a wasted seminal emission. He was so pure in that way. And once Klal Yisrael became lax, once Klal Yisrael was no longer careful about Gilui Arayos, they didn't have the schus, the merit of Avraham. And during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, they were involved in illicit relationships. So they no longer had the schus, the merit of Avraham, protecting them and ensuring that they had a part in this Beis HaMikdash. Or as well, they weren't careful in only focusing their relationship to Hashem. They no longer were in tune to realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only God. And they lost the schus of Yitzchak, and they started coming and worshiping alien gods. That's Avodah Zarah. And Klal Yisrael, they weren't careful, they didn't understand the sanctity of life, which was the schus of Yaakov. Yaakov couldn't come and kill his brother. He would never do such a thing. He was so careful about the sanctity of life. And Klal Yisrael had a connection to the first Beis HaMikdash in the schus of Yaakov, because he was so careful, and if they were able to tap into Yaakov, they would be zocheh, they would merit to have this Beis HaMikdash. But Klal Yisrael, during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, they lost the schus, the merit of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And ultimately the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But it was in the schus of the Avos. It was the merit of our forefathers that ultimately gave Eretz Yisrael to Am Yisrael. Now think about this for a moment. In the last, not this past election, but in 2016. So Donald Trump's platform was made in America. Everything has to be America. He's a patriot. America first. How does it look for the person who's the leader of the free world, a person who is the incoming president of the United States, and he's buying ware and he's employing foreigners not from this country? It's an impossibility. It's a contradiction. It shows that he's disingenuous. For Yaakov Avinu, where the schus of Eretz Yisrael, the schus of the Beis HaMikdash, was the Avos. And now for him to go to Mitzrayim with other types of possessions that he acquired outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's so disingenuous. The schus of Eretz Yisrael, the schus of the Beis HaMikdash, is in the schus of the Avos. We were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. The land swallowed us and spit us out because we weren't careful in the ways of the Avos. We were murdering people. We lost our connection to Yaakov Avinu. The whole land is in the schus of Yaakov Avinu. So for Yaakov Avinu to take possessions that weren't acquired in the land that is so precious to him, that the schus of the land is in his honor and his merit, and him not to have, or for him to take products made outside of his land, it's tantamount, lahavdil, to the President of the United States giving his children and grandchildren products that say made in China. Who would do such a thing? The schus of the Beis HaMikdash was in the merit, the schus of Eretz Yisrael was in the merit of Yaakov Avinu, and therefore he says, Einan Kedai, it's not worthwhile for me. It's beneath me. Here I am. Eretz Yisrael is given in the schus of me to my children, and I'm going to come and bequeath them products, produce, acquisitions that were given outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's an impossibility. So that was the schus of the first Beis HaMikdash. But what was the schus of the second Beis HaMikdash? The Maharal continues and tells us that the schus of the second Beis HaMikdash was no longer the schus avos. That had dried up in the aftermath of the first Beis HaMikdash after Klal Yisrael lost their connection to the Avos. They were involved in murder. They were involved in illicit relationships. They were involved in Avodah Zarah. They no longer had the schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that had left them after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So in what schus, though, did Klal Yisrael deserve the second Beis HaMikdash? Says the Maharal, the second Beis HaMikdash was in the schus of Am Yisrael, was in the merit of Am Yisrael. Kashir heim Am Echad, because we were unified, we were one nation. Velo chalak libam, we didn't have different factions, we were united in heart and spirit. Hayolahem ha'aretz, we were zochet to the land. Ukashir chalak libam, but when we became fragmented, and we had different factions, besinas chinam, with senseless, baseless hatred, shahayu beinayim, bitel koach zeh. So once we hated each other, we lost our power, we lost our merit for the second Beis HaMikdash, we no longer were an Am Echad. And ultimately, says the Maharal, v'charav Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, v'galu min ha'aretz, and we were kicked out and exiled from the land. Ki bayish sheni, the second Beis Hamikdash, haya lahem b'meh shehem am echad, because we were am echad, we were am Yisrael. We were united, we were brotherly, we cared for each other, we felt each other's pain and each other's joy. But once we no longer were an Am Echad, we didn't have that brotherly love. No longer was Klal Yisrael deserving of the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara actually tells us that the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash, that Sinas Chinam is equivalent to all three of those sins that Klal Yisrael were involved in during the first Beis Hamikdash. That's how sinister is the act of senseless hatred, of no longer have that brotherly love. So we ask the question, how did Rashi know to understand the reason that Yosef cried, having to do with the fact that the Beis Hamikdash was going to be lost, and that's why Yosef cried upon the shoulder? Let us go back and read the Psukim very, very carefully. The Pasuk tells us, Vayipol al tzavare binyamin achiv vayevch, ubinyamin bacha al tzavarav, that Yosef fell upon the neck of Binyamin, his brother, and cried, and Binyamin cried upon his neck. Why is it that the Pasuk adds in that one word, achiv? He fell upon the neck of Binyamin, his brother. It doesn't say, and Binyamin cried upon the neck of his brother. It says that Yosef cried upon the neck of his brother Binyamin. He cried and wept upon the shoulder of his brother. That extra word, achiv. Rashi saw that extra word. And Rashi sensed that Yosef HaTzadik was crying because there was no longer going to breathe that brotherly love between different members of Am Yisrael. And that's how Rashi knew to interpret, to understand the reason why he was crying was over the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, of the Batei Mikdash. The second Beis Hamikdash, the gullus that we're still in today, is ultimately due to the fact that there was sinas chinam. There was senseless, baseless hatred. There was no longer that feeling of brotherly love. And because the pasuk adds in that extra word, achiv, Rashi knew that it means that he was crying because there was not going to be that brotherly love in the future. And that's why Rashi understood and interpreted, not in the most simplistic way, that they were crying because they had not seen each other for all these years, but ultimately Yosef was crying because eventually in the future, the brothers aren't going to love each other. So how do we get back this love? How do we rebuild the Beis Hamikdash? You think about it. The only way to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash is to fix that which was lost. That brotherly love was lost in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, and thousands of years have elapsed and we still haven't been able to modify our behavior. How do we again get back that brotherly love, especially since people have reasons to hate or have reasons to feel a lack of trust or there are valid reasons as to why I shouldn't associate with you. So how are we able to overcome all of those different feelings and be able to once again have that achiv, that brotherly love? So the answer is very simple. The answer is Yosef's reaction to his brothers. Think about it for a moment. Yosef was left to die. Yosef was sold. He was forgotten about. They had determined that he was supposed to die. He was a Rodev. He's a Rasha. He's a bad person. Yosef had every reason to hate his brothers. And he showed them love. After he reveals himself, he tells his brothers, "You didn't send me here. Don't be upset. I was sent here by HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you. Lo atem shalachtem osi hena, ki Elokim. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Time and time again, Yosef is coming and reassuring his brothers, "I don't hate you." Yosef had so many possibilities, so many opportunities to kill his brother. To kill his brothers, and he didn't. So now when Yosef comes and says, "Ani Yosef Ha'orov Ichai, is our father still alive?" The brothers couldn't answer. They were speechless. Why were they speechless? Because in their world, when they felt that they were being mistreated, or in their world, when they felt that someone deserved to die, they would go out and they would kill him. Such as the case with Yosef HaTzadik. But they saw that Yosef wasn't like that. They saw that Yosef was someone that was different. That he was willing to overcome all of his feelings of mistrust, or all of his feelings of hatred, or all of his feelings of retribution, of getting back at his brothers. He was able to overcome all of that and still feel brotherly. Vayomer Yosef el Echav. Yosef said to his brothers, "Gishu noilai, come close to me." Vayomer ani Yosef achichem. I am Yosef achichem, your brother. That's why they were speechless. So yes, many Mefarshim explain the reason why they were speechless is because they realized that their entire outlook on Yosef was obviously betos, it was mistaken. But I believe the reason why they were speechless is because they never saw someone have such self-control. They never saw someone capable of acting in such a dignified way, being able to overcome all of the hostility, all the hatred, all the feelings of wanting to exact revenge. That's why they were speechless. They didn't act like that. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. Yosef always was above it. He always viewed them as achiv, as Yosef achichem. And that extra word is ultimately what compelled Rashi to learn up the sugya, to learn up the reason why Yosef was crying, was because of the Beis Hamikdash that ultimately was destroyed because of sinas kinam. There was a lack of achiv, lack of brotherly love, a lack of ability of overcoming any hostility or hatred. So the first Beis Hamikdash was in the schus of the Avos. Eretz Yisrael was in the schus of Yaakov Avinu, and therefore it was beneath him, it was undignified for him to have where or rechush, possessions that was outside of Eretz Yisrael. But the schus of Eretz Yisrael the second time around was in the schus of Am Yisrael, was in the schus of us being able to be compatible, to live among each other. And ultimately, we weren't able to do that. Then Yosef was crying over that lost sense of brotherly love. He was crying, Vayipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv. He was crying over Binyamin, his brother. And Binyamin bacha al tzavarav. It's missing that word, achiv. But Rashi understood that that word is coming and teaching us something very, very valuable. that that's the reason that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zoche. We should be Zoche to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the schus of the Avos. We should no longer be involved in promiscuity, and we shouldn't be involved in Avodah Zarah or Shvichas Damim. And obviously, we're not involved in those things, but Chazal teach us. Shvichas Damim is embarrassing someone. It's like murdering someone. Kal Yisrael has a higher standard. Avodah Zarah means money can be Avodah Zarah, where we're so enamored with our money at the exclusion of other things. We're willing to spend more money on some physical possession, but when it comes to buying a lulav or an esrog, we're nickel and diming. That means that there's something that's greater in our eyes than our Torah and mitzvos. And ultimately, the reason why the brothers were speechless was because they didn't live their lives like that. They weren't able to be on the level of Yosef, that when they felt slighted, they acted upon it, and they no longer had that brotherly love. They saw Yosef HaTzadik had such a love and such a care, such a concern for them, in spite of all the difficulties that he endured because of them. He always referred to them as Echav Gishu Noilai, come close, Vayigashu Vayomer Ani Yosef Achichem. And it's hard. But if we want to be able to build back that brotherly love, we have to be able to look past all of the hatred and all the hostilities and all the misgivings and all the feelings of feeling betrayed and hurt. And in Mirtz Hashem, in that schus, we should be zoche to once again come back to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Have a good night.